Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Hi, I'm Elena Di Giovanni for Fred Film Radio at the 73rd Venice Film Festival from the Lido in Venice. And I'm here today with Pedro Barbadillo. Pedro Barbadillo, it's a great pleasure to have you here with us.
Thank you very much.
You are chairman of Cine Ciudad, which is a very interesting project that we can start by talking about. And you are also president of Cine Arte, which is a Spanish network of art cinemas. You are a member of the board of SICAE, which is the International Confederation of Art House Cinemas in Europe. You're a producer, you're a filmmaker, and you're full of ideas and projects. So, and then we also have a very special guest here with us, Nevina Satta. Nevina Satta is CEO of Sardegna Film Commission, and she's also vice president of the Italian Film Commission Association. So thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you. We talked before starting with this interview, and we decided that the topic of our session today is going to be accessible, sustainable, inclusive cinema experience. So, Pedro, would you like to start?
Well, yes, that is what Nevina and I are part of having something in common. That means that we are representing cinema on the cinema field in islands in the Mediterranean. We share also this idea that cinema and cinemas, not just the location or the place where cinema films are shown, but also the cinema industry as such, should become more accessible, more sustainable, more inclusive. Accessible in a lot of senses, not just the physical access for people that cannot walk or that can difficultly climb a step or hear a sound, but also accessible in the sense that we are living now, and increasingly in Europe, in a multilingual, in a multicultural society. The people are moving around for jobs, for vacations, for any reasons, for retiring also. And our places, our towns, our cities are becoming more and more multilingual. Yeah. And these lingual barriers can sometimes impede people to become fully inside or feel fully citizens. For instance, immigrants or refugees or even European people from other places. So we think that a part of all the other physical accessibility programs that have to be done, that are already done in some places, that also should be a focus on audio, multilingual audio, audible accessibility.
You're right. And I think that linguistic barriers tend to be overlooked very often when it comes not just to cinema, but also to cinema experiences. And you were mentioning that you, Pedro, you live in a multilingual, especially multilingual environment in Mallorca, although I think that Sardegna too is a very interesting case when it comes to languages, ancient and new languages. So I would like both of you to talk about your multilingual environment and how this relates to cinema and your own professional experience.
Well, in the case of Mallorca, we are naturally bilingual. It's a Catalan area, a Catalan-speaking area in the Spanish country. But on the other hand, we have been historically a place of crossways, through the seas. And recently, from the beginning of the last century, it has been a very popular touristic place. It means that we have people from all around Europe, from all around the world, a lot of Germans that retire there, that have residence there, that come there for weekends or for holidays. If I mention some figures, it's amazing. We have 15 million tourists a year, and from them about 5 million are Germans. And about 60,000 Germans live there for the whole year, but we have also British, Italian, and French, Scandinavian, and also Moroccans, or Senegalese, or people from other countries as immigrants, as workers. That means that we have around 34 linguistic minorities there. Mm-hmm. And for us, as having a cinema, it's interesting because sometimes we show a German film with Spanish subtitles, and we miss all the other audiences than the German and the Spanish speaking. And we would like to develop audience in the sense of Doing it or getting more opportunities for people from other languages to go into the showrooms.
But you were mentioning a project that involves school students, and it's sort of a project to learn languages and to highlight languages through the cinema experience. Nevina, perhaps you want to join in and say something about this?
Sure. We had an amazing experience of Freda School as our pilot project, where Sardinia was involved experimentally for the first minority language in Europe that was actually joining the big family of Freda School, composed by various countries, more than 11, involving not only primary and secondary schools in certain cases, but the Lux Prize, the university institutions of various types, from film commission to film funds, to film agencies, as well as the educational centers. Think about the involvement of in the project of the different countries and the many interested institutions that joined the group. The goal there was to, basically develop a clear sense of how film literacy should go today and how you can evolve a sense of possibility, both on one hand by exploiting the technological development that allowed you to have simultaneously a vision of the film in multi languages, and you can download apps that, for instance, allowed you to have all the accessible codes in your hands as you're watching the film, or the possibility of using multiple layers of subtitling, exactly similar to the experience that you have when you choose a DVD language setting. But the primary goal of that experience was that we were basically, and Fred really has been incredible as a family to experiment this, bringing back what today is called a traditional media, like the radio, as a tool to train kids, we could say even the discipline of learning by sharing the possibility of building something together, which was a review of a movie that they shared, and so, and the corpus of the films that were actually presented to the teenagers were all coming from the Lux Prize selection.
Yeah.
So they were all co-productions. They were exemplary films shot in the new techniques of producing style that the European film, the European Creative Europe program has created and generated. Okay. So that is one example. Even a small island, in our case Sardinia, mm-hmm. can reincorporate the language of the heart and turn it into an opportunity to train kids with technology and communication tools, as well as a passion for cinema, which is the primary goal of our being here.
Yes, and plus audience development is very much there, obviously, because the whole project, Freddie School project, was about educating new audiences, not just to watching films, but to watching films from all over Europe, so very different films, and to understanding and reflecting on them. So I think that was a very interesting endeavor. Would you like Pedro to possibly close this part of our interview with some reflections on the project about learning languages through cinema that you have been carrying out, and also perhaps you want to mention the research that is ongoing and that you're carrying out to have multiple language versions in one cinema hall?
Yes, going from this idea that languages shouldn't be barriers but should be bridges to access culture and citizenship, we started with the language school in Palma, a program to teach languages through cinema. So they are the students that are taking part on the different languages that they teach there. They come one in a week to the cinema to see a film, an original version on the language they are learning with their teachers, and then they have a talk after the film about the subject on the same language. It's working very well. We will increase this next year, the program, also not just to students, so to language students, but also to people that want to improve their language, being Spanish even, or some people that are working in Mallorca but doesn't speak well Spanish or Catalan. We want to increase this approach. And at the other side, we want to start, and we are working hand by hand with Nevina and her commission for that, in an innovation project to find out how a movie theater, how a showroom can be converted into a Babelian place, where in a place where anybody can hear the film in the language he wants.
That sounds amazing, promising, and groundbreaking, and we're all very much looking forward to that. Okay, thank you very much. We will take a short break, and we'll be back in no time. I'm Elena Di Giovanni for Fred Film Radio at the 73rd Venice Film Festival. Welcome back. Pedro Barbadillo is here with me, and Evina Satta is also here with me. I'm Elena Di Giovanni for Fred Film Radio at the 73rd Venice Film Festival. Okay, let's carry on with this very interesting conversation, and perhaps we can focus on something that is very dear to us here at Fred, which is accessibility to cinema, to television, to the media in general, for the sensory impaired, focusing especially on cinema and focusing on the techniques that are used to make cinema accessible, which are audio description for the blind and subtitles for the deaf and hard of hearing. Nevina, would you like to say something about it? What is your experience? What do you think about it? How important it is to you to
it
make cinema?
It is absolutely crucial at the center of the agenda, not so much yet executed, we must say, as a promise of more action on this front. Last year at the Rome Film Festival during the market, there was a big session where each institution that represented various areas and sections of the film industry took the responsibility of starting new regulation, develop new programs, potentially find more investors for this issue that is not at all something new, but is definitely something that we don't tackle enough. Starting from the PowerPoint presentation of the actual festivals or, you know, all the conferences where we show trailers without worrying about the possibility of having them correctly subtitled. So it is an issue because, as you know, the European guidelines for the regions are very clear about the issue of inclusion. Yeah. So we must include remote areas, remote territories, but within the same social space. We don't ask ourselves, are we really including everybody?
Yes.
So the topic is, I mean, you are one of our war troopers of this topic, and you know how hard it is to convince exhibitors, but also ordinary people that this is something that is really crucial. We see this paradox at the university classes. We see this paradox in the availability of materials to do so. So the challenge, we got the challenge from Fred, actually, because Fred started to propose for the Fred at School project the entire issue of how do we translate in the language that each of our institutions represents every possible tool to include everybody.
Yes.
And we realize how much work that must be done. And our goal is to incorporate in the existing festivals that already tackle multi-languages, like the Babel Film Festival in Sardinia, which takes place in December, that we hope could be an opportunity. Already last year, after Rome, we had a session of work and we had a test for our local theaters, and it worked incredibly well. Suddenly, we brought to the theaters associations and groups that never felt involved.
This is fantastic.
Just the beginning.
Yes, and a very good one. I think when it comes to accessibility to services for the sensory impaired, there's not enough awareness, number one. Number two, I think that producers or distributors or festival organizers are scared about costs, which is ridiculous, because normally, like for a film, for a blockbuster film, the cost of translation, for example, several languages, is less than 0.1 of the overall production cost. So it's just irrelevant. So what do we need to do, Pedro, in order to make cinema more inclusive in a true and deep and strong and systematic way?
Well, I think there's a lot of things to do. The first is to be aware that it is something to address.
True.
That's the first question, because sometimes we don't address that, but we don't know that it exists or that there is a need for. I think that, we have a very interesting experience in our cinema. Our cinema is a citizen-run cinema. It was reopened after the commercial cinema closed. And it was reopened by an association of 1,500 people that put money to buy the cinema.
Fantastic.
And one of our first members was the president of an association of deaf people.
Wow.
Because he said, if this cinema closed, it is the only one with subtitles in the original version, we will not have any cinema to go.
Oh, that's great.
And he was one of the first supporters of our project.
Fantastic.
And we understood very, very quickly that it was not just a joke.
Yes.
That, or an elitian question of hearing the films in the original language. It was a very practical question for them.
Well, if you think that every European country, like Italy, and I guess Spain is sort of there, has about 10 to 12% of the population that has hearing problems, that's not a minority. That's quite a large part of the population. So that's great that you had them involved from the very beginning, and it was self-involvement.
Well, they are very involved. They run the concession. They are also the company that cleans the cinema, and they are very, as a company, as an association, very, very deeply engaged in our project. But I think it's just from a commercial point of view, we should address at least blinds and deaf people,
yes,
because they are a very important part of the population. You say 10 to 12%. If you add also blind people, we can arrive to around 20% of the population with this kind of problems. And that is an important part of an audience.
Absolutely.
If you want to really develop and increase your audience as a cinema, you should address it, no?
Plus, another thing is the sensory impaired would go to the cinema with friends or relatives. So that's a very good way to really include everyone in the audience. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes if you have a service that is for the blind, then you encourage friends or relatives of the blind to come over. I think inclusion is very, very important. It's not just about creating services that are for special categories, but it's about creating services that are for everyone all at the same time. Don't you agree?
Yes, I agree.
What do you think, Elena?
I absolutely agree, and I think that the matter of going back to the notion of experience in the vision, sharing it with the community, includes also the responsibility of making it available to the community in the pure and authentic sense of how the cinema experience was generated. There is the sense of wonder, but also the sense of the possibility of talking of the movie afterwards. It's the possibility of impacting so strongly in the imaginary is such a big responsibility that forces everybody to consider not, you know, a service for some and an exclusion for other on one end. On the other end, I think we're all targeting in various forms the issue of how can we involve more the community. The project that Pedro had started with the various cinema owners and exhibitors is related to a sense of sustainability that does not anymore, as you know, regard just the eco-sustainability, which though impacts the community as well, but is a sustainability of relationship and investment, and therefore the issue of inclusion cannot be treated by other policies. It's exactly part of the audiovisual agenda, because everything today goes through the shared experience of audiovisuals.
Yeah, we're about to close, but I would like to ask Pedro to say a very, very few words about something that I found on Cine Ciudad website, which is a solidary seat. What is a solidary seat? I was very much struck by that, because we talk about accessibility and inclusion, and then I found that. What is a solidary seat?
Well, it's another paragraph of this inclusive project. 2 years ago, we got a proposal. We have something called the laboratory, no, in our cinema. In the laboratory, somebody proposed us to apply to the cinema what happened during the crisis in the restaurants and the bars. It was that somebody let a coffee or a meal paid by somebody that came after it couldn't pay. So we did the same with the seats in the cinema. We have now around 400 seats paid by by citizens, and then we have an agreement with several organizations that work with every kind of people, with refugees or drug addicts and people without resources, and they send us every week a list of the names of the people that will come. They come and get their ticket on the box office, and they come to the cinema exactly so that they don't have to show that they are needing it, no?
I think that is a great idea, and it really goes towards inclusion again. So thank you very much, Pedro Barbadillo, for being with us. Thank you very much, Nevina Satta, for being part of this very interesting session. I'm Elena Di Giovanni for Fred Film Radio from the 73rd Venice Film Festival. Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.